Okay, we'll go and pray. Lord, I pray the author, teacher, interpreter of this book, and specifically this letter, I pray you'd help us to try to figure out probably this most complex and confusing subject of walking in the Spirit. And I know as far as the churches go, we usually put a bunch of rules and regulations and feel that that's walking in the Spirit, but it's got more to it than that. And I just pray you'd help us somehow, each of us, to begin to grasp this, begin to have a personal walk with thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 4 and 5, Romans 3, 4 and 5, he introduces imputed righteousness, justification. Chapter 6, he now introduces 6, 7, and 8, the idea of what do you do after you've been justified, and how you begin to walk according to your record. So that's 6 and 7. 7 reveals the inner struggles we all have with it. And 8's new territory on this idea. And 8, the ultimate goal, is found down in 29 and 30. Okay, where the born-again believer is, in verse 29, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. That's a predestination. It's not dealing with justification. Predestination is dealing with sanctification. And then in verse 30, he repeated that word. That word's only found 4 times in the Bible, so it's pretty easy to define. It's amazing how the Calvinists have it all confused. So in verse 30, he said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So you have justified and glorified, so he skipped. He skipped sanctified. And the idea is that when a person is justified, they will be glorified. The sanctified is our part. That's our responsibility. Okay. When a person believes in Jesus, he is justified, and then God takes over, and God will complete the glorification. That's eternal security. It's our job to walk in the Spirit with the Lord. How do we do that? Okay, Romans 1. Now, the Romans 1, 8, the Arminians, they will usually teach that you can lose your salvation. Okay, and then they will say that you people who believe in eternal security believe you can get away with everything you want. And the reason why they say that is because that's what they want to do. And then we can come back easily with chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is God forbid. So in chapter 8, verse 1, he shows that there is condemnation for the born-again believer, but it's not eternal. That's the thing in Romans 8. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If he put a period there, then they could say you get away with everything. But the verse puts a comma, who walk not after the spirit, flesh, but after the Spirit. So the implications is that a believer who walks after the flesh will face condemnation. It will just be temporary. For some reason, the new Bibles take out that whole phrase. So they put a period after Jesus, take out that entire phrase. That phrase is repeated in verse 4. So they lose the double importance of it by taking it out. And then, of course, mess up some doctrines in the process. So, but the Bible, I'm just more and more fascinated with how precise it is. I've been reading, I have a replica, not that one, I have a replica of the 1611, the Old English and everything. I have a small one, and then I got a medium size, I got baby, mama bear, and then papa bear. And I've been reading through the middle one. Started reading through it this year, the Old English and everything. And it's becoming a real blessing. I'm into Exodus, and it's just, and it's not hard to pick up the wording, really. You just see the different spelling. But it's almost like those words are popping off the page. I'm not saying the 1611 is, you know that, you know, we bow and worship it. Okay, but that's what a kid did to me at Shape Military Base. That's a military base where Joab and I went and played basketball, where we were smoking them. And I made several shots. This one kid goes like this. Okay, but it's almost like, do you remember when the Bulls had Stacey King years ago? He said one time he and Jordan combined for 70 points in a game. He had two, and Jordan had 68. So he kind of made it look like, yeah. But funny. Okay, so in verse 8, it says after the flesh and after the spirit. In verse 9, notice the precise wording. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So there are two choices for a person to be. In the flesh, that means they're lost. In the spirit, that means they're saved. And the ones in the spirit can walk after the flesh, even though they're in the spirit. And the ones in the spirit can walk after the spirit, meaning following the guidance of the Spirit of God. So the wording is precise. Now, charismatics will say that you have to have a second working of grace in order to speak in tongues. So that proves you have the spirit. But Romans 8:9 says that if you don't have the spirit, you're lost. So, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So that's a no-brainer. Now, Galatians, if you want to hold your finger here, Galatians 5, remember that Galatians is the first letter that Paul wrote after his salvation. That, I'm meaning, that God chose to put in the Bible. So it's its most passionate one. And it deals, Romans, chronologically in our Bible, you have Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Romans and Galatians are doctrinally connected. Martin Luther, his favorite two letters were Romans and Galatians. And Martin Luther did not understand James. He would get so frustrated with James that he said, someday I'm going to light my fire with James. And God did not reveal to him dispensations. I mean, man, the man was amazing regarding, you know, the Reformation. And God didn't reveal those other things to him. So Romans starts off with justification by faith. And Galatians follows that through with sanctification, even though sanctification is not in the letter. And how I can say that is in verse 16 of chapter 5, he says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And in Romans, he says, we walk after the Spirit, walk after the flesh. So how does a person do that? And that's the age-old question that is so confusing to people, and a lot of fundamentalists in particular develop a bunch of rules and regulations, and they say, if you obey these, then you're a good Christian, you're walking in the flesh. Even though the rules are good, and may be good, and they may look good outwardly, but like the Lord said to the Pharisees, inwardly they are evil. So how do we do this? How do we walk in the Spirit? So the Spirit bears witness to our spirit, verse 16, that we are the children of God. How does he do that? He does it by words. How do we get these words? They're not going to be audible. Okay, but they're you're going to, if you begin to down this path, you get a thought in your head, say, Lord, is that you? Talk to me, Lord. You know, help me out trying to figure this out. And then see what the Lord shows you. Okay, and you bring these thoughts into captivity. If you would, Job 26. I mentioned this morning that words, okay, or spirits. I mentioned that spirits, good spirits, bad spirits. Spirit is akin to our word like attitude. I don't know if you remember in school, kids in one cheering said, "We got spirit, yes we do. We got spirit, how about you?" Back and forth, you know. And the other one's supposed to yell louder, and then another one yells, "We got spirit, yes we do." You know, and I always hated those things. We always had pep session. My sister Janet was a cheerleader, and she'd get red in the face, and I'd make fun of her. I said, "Jan, you're getting red in your face." She'd get so mad because nobody's yelling. The kids don't care. But notice in Job 26, what if these six questions will be asked to each of us at the judgment seat? What if? Job answered and said, "How hast thou helped him that is without power? Have you helped somebody that couldn't help themselves? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? How hast thou plentifully declared the thing," and I like how he writes this, "as it is," exactly as it is, no adding to, so no subtracting from. And then the next two questions, "to whom hast thou uttered words," the spoken word, and then, "and whose spirit came from thee?" Whose spirit came from our mouth as we uttered words? Okay, when you and I speak, breath comes out, good, bad, garlic, whatever. Okay, breath comes out and a spirit comes with that breath. What type of a spirit's leaving our mouths? Could be the spirit of God, under the direction of God. It could be my spirit, maybe my opinion. Could be an unclean spirit. So spirits are like birds. Remember in the Bible that he takes small winged things to portray unclean spirits. Remember in Matthew 13, in the parable of the sower and the seed, birds came and picked the seed out of the heart. And then he said later that the devil picked the seed out of the heart. So spirits are like birds flying around, going here, going there, coming through. And so words, thoughts come in our head like this, coming through, and they might settle in there. And have you ever been in a car or truck or riding along with somebody and you verbalized your thought that came out and the other party said, "I was just thinking about that"? And the reason why is that those words came through and hit both of you and one of you verbalized it. Now, children and animals can pick up spirits. They can sense attitudes of people. If a person, it's all tight and everything, and they hold a baby, the baby will sense that and become unsettled. If a person is relaxed, calm, generally that baby will sense that spirit. Sins that are secret sins, like pornography, maybe a dad hides that from his family, but that spirit permeates into the household and it affects the entire family. That's why music is so vital. Okay, remember when David played the harp, the evil spirits of Saul left him. Evil spirits don't like soothing, proper music. So this is why we do need to have good, proper music. Now, I know we men, a lot of times, we can shut it out of our head, you know, because we can get in our nothing box and think about nothing, you know, where ladies, you got about 10 things going on at once, and that don't work with you, you know, that nothing box. You know, Jan will be talking away, and then you and your nothing box. Yeah, I've been for quite a while. And so, but still the idea is that when a thought comes through our head, in 2 Corinthians 10, it says that we got to cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God. So when a thought passes through our mind, consider that thought. Say, "Lord, are you trying to show me something? Is there something you want me to do? Talk to them. Okay, I'm not saying, you know, all that stuff. But just get in a habit of seeking the Lord in that. And so you try to discern those spirits. And you could, the spirits can be good, be bad in second. In seconds, it can switch back and forth. And that's the crazy thing about walking in the Spirit. And you might be surprised when the Lord speaks to you. You know, it's a very strange time, like during a basketball game. I've had the Lord, you know, speak to me through that. He said, hey, knucklehead, straighten up. Something like that. Okay? And we got to be sensitive to the Lord's leading. And recognize that any and all of us can come back and forth like this. Okay, if Simon Peter can say in Matthew 13 or 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus says flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, so that means God revealed it to him. And then he said, be it far from thee, Lord, you're not going to go into Jerusalem and be killed. And then the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. That's how quick it can go back and forth. And so that's why when the Lord says walk after the Spirit here, after the flesh is our carnal appetites. It's when you go to the county fair and you smell popcorn. Oh, let's go get some popcorn. Now that's just yielding to your flesh. Now what you got to do is you got to think about it now. You got to think beforehand. If I smell popcorn, I'm planning this. If I smell, then I'm going to go get it. So that way I'm not yielding to my flesh. I'd already figured that out. Okay, and so that's how appetites are. That's how passion is. And a lot of times, okay, David's sin with Bathsheba was a sin of passion. A momentarily thing, he messed up. Okay, the murder of Uriah was a calculated sin, a cover-up. And the cover-up was worse than the original sin. And that's often how it works. And so our intent of why we do what we do. Okay, a kid, when I was a teenager, we'd go up to Wisconsin. We'd go to this one private lake resort family up in Phelps by the UP. And we met two families from Milwaukee. They were lost people. They didn't know anything better. But with them, drinking a beer for a 12-year-old was just like pop, soda. Oh, they called it soda. And, Jimmy was sixth grade. He was 6 foot tall. He's quite a funny kid. And, of course, at that time, I was 15, 5 foot 2 inches tall. And we'd be goofing around playing tennis or sail or something. They said, Dave, you want a beer? And I said, what? The first time they said that, what? Now, for them to drink a beer, that's nothing. There's no rebellion in it. Okay, maybe a kid wants to drink a beer and it just says, oh, okay, I just want to see what it tastes like. Well, I can tell you what it tastes like. A urine sample. Because that's what it smells like. Okay, and the Bible tells us it's bitter anyway. Okay, but if a kid's curious. But if a kid says, I'm going to drink this because I know this is going to upset my parents, that's rebellion. And the Lord looks at intent. The Catholic Church puts sin in a category between venial and mortal. The Bible puts it in fleshly and spiritual. You know a sin you'll never hear preached at a preacher's conference? Evil surmisings. Evil surmise, never hear that. Envy, pride. Never hear that preached at those places because that's their favorite sins. Evil surmisings. That's one of the sins listed in 2 Timothy. Actually, that's kind of what Abraham committed against Abimelech when he said, you stopped up the wells. That was evil surmisings, a form of it. It's judging somebody before you know everything involved. So walking after the Spirit is when the Lord reveals a word or a thought, an idea to you, maybe whatever the situation, and you kind of, okay, you got to think about that. And then ask the Lord, what is that about? If I get an idea of a topic to study, you know, somebody, hey, have you ever considered this idea? No, never did. I'll say something, maybe I'll look at it, maybe I won't. And then if somebody else within 7 days said, have you ever heard of this topic? And I said, okay, no, somebody else asked me about that. And then maybe a couple more days, if I get a third witness, I say, Lord, you want me to look at this thing? And so then I'll take some time and look at it. And then ask the Lord about it and go to Scripture about it and try to figure things out and see where this thing lands. And remember that the God of the Bible has infinite understanding. That's what I found fascinating in Europe, especially in Brussels. We didn't see a lot of the old stone structures. There are some around. But in Brussels, I was just amazed with the stone structures. Doors 20 foot tall. I mean, it's just like, why is this? And Jan's looking at me, looking around. She said, I know what you're thinking. I said, yeah, I'm thinking about when all these giants were here and what it was like. And this, and the Bible does discuss these things. And it's just fascinating to me. But the Lord gives us these thoughts, but then he wants us to kind of categorize these topics so you put them in priorities. And obviously, grace is at the top. So we want to be occupied with grace. So in Romans 5, verse 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Often the condemnation, when we walk after the flesh, and probably you'll never hear preachers, rarely hear preachers, talk about diet, what they put in their body, temperance, self-discipline, alternative health, But they'll go to the pharmacy down the road knowing that pharmacia is devils or sorcery, and they don't consider the medical profession to be demonic, but they consider the alternative health to be demonic. But if any of the two is demonic, it's that one. And they don't even consider that. It's like they can just stuff their body with all this food and then they say, oh, I got sick. Okay, did you look at yourself first? In January, I flew to California, got headaches on the way out, headaches on the way back, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. When we went to Belgium, I got a massive, I've never had these before. And I'm thinking, am I getting old to fly? Should I be flying? What am I doing wrong? And I'm thinking apple cider vinegar. I'm trying to think of something. What is it? Man, it put me down for about 4 hours on the flight. And I'm like, oh, man, we want to go to Australia. I don't want to be taking this all the way. And I was even thinking about, you know, man, am I done flying? And so Jan and I did a little homework, and on the way back, I still had a minor headache, but one time I was praying, Lord, I got these cold sores. Would you heal them? Would you heal them? And then the Lord said, why don't you pray and ask what I can give your body so your body can heal itself? And since I got that from him, I thought it was a pretty good idea. And then, boom, lysine. How about that? See, and so then we try it. Or sea herb. That's a toughie, sea herb. Makes your lip. But it's good in the next morning. And so, but a lot of these men, their body, they're sick here. Okay, we better look in the mirror first. I'm just not an innocent victim of getting headaches. Obviously, I wasn't drinking enough water. That's what Jan put it to. And so the flight was much better on the way back. So we ready to buy tickets for Australia now. But the thing is we need to look at ourselves. What can we do? Jan did something. She sat in the back of the van and tweaked her hip. And she could not. I mean, it was snail's pace. And so it was. She was so bad that we got wheelchair assistance in the airport, because it would have taken us 3 hours to get through the airport. Now, the next time I told her, boy, that wheelchair is nice. Bypass all security, front row. Oh, man. Can you do that again before and then after? She got to figure it out on the way back. She's already got the exercise. She's doing better now. Maybe let's do this again. Boy, that was convenient. Okay, but what a lot of Americans, we don't consider looking at ourselves. And so when we walk after the flesh, what's going to happen? We are going to reap. We are going to reap. You sow, reap what you sow. And we're going to reap fleshly problems. Now, granted, the Lord, you know, the Lord allows certain things in people. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's mental. Sometimes it's spiritual. And sometimes it's just life. You know, 66. It's just life. And so the idea here is we walk after the flesh, we're going to face condemnation. We're going to reap what we sow. Okay? And then he says, but after the Spirit. And then he said this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a freedom there. There's a freedom. For the law of the Spirit of life. So it's like flying. It's like aerodynamics. And then he says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. So we have the Lord who overcame all of this as a testimony. God. So what does that give us the capability? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So if we walk after the flesh, okay, whether it's a calculated thing or whether it's a crime of passion, and a lot of times there are sad things that happen in moments of like family get-togethers. Boom, just like that. Little kids get together, do something curious, do something, and it's bad. And the devil revels in that, takes advantage of the innocence. And so there he wants us to walk after the Spirit. So the Spirit's going to guide us and direct us. He's in our body. He is the author of the Bible. He is the interpreter of the Bible. Pray to him to help you understand the Bible. And ask, and when he gives you a scripture in your head, in your heart, consider it, because he's trying to strengthen you, trying to guide you. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So then verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So if you take the word flesh and spell it backwards, drop the H, you have self. Okay, but still the idea is they put self before anything. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So spiritual minded. That's what he's going to become talking next verse. For to be carnivorous. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, a spiritual mind is not the monks. It's not people going around, amen, brother, hallelujah. Whenever I hear, I want to say, amen, hallelujah, what's it to you? Something like that. A false piety, I see it like a rabid dog. I mean, it's just false. It's just fake. It's a form of godliness. The Lord just wants us to be real, honest. Okay? And so to be carnally minded, death, spiritually minded, life and peace. Life and peace as in the difference between walking on earth and then soaring in the clouds. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And of course, that's the whole foundation of the transgender movement. It's designed to get people. Fornication is the hook that the devil uses to get people in a trap that they can't get out of, or very difficult to get out of. And so this is involving a spirit. And so this is the whole, and the transgender movement openly is relatively new, but it's been going on for years. It's been behind the scenes. Okay, a lot of the famous people, if they follow the Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah, the Jewish mysticism, that's where the Big Bang originated from, and then the Jesuit priest brought it up from the Kabbalah to the 1900s. But they teach that Adam was a male-female, and when he sinned, God separated the genders. And so for them to get born again or to be like the original Adam is to unite the genders. And it's an absolute rebellion against God. Now, these little peon people that are just following the media, you know, you got to check the spirit. You got to see how the intent is. But at the upper echelon, this is a religion. And it's all in a political agenda. It's with the famous people. It's with the rich and the hoi polloi. And this is all designed to become their own gods. And of course, the Mormon religion believes that they're going to become a god someday. And that's what humanism's all about. So these people they have no scruples, and narcissism is becoming an epidemic exponentially. I mean, just absolutely what's going on. In the ministry, it's just pathetic going on in the ministry. I don't know if things go to people's heads or what happens to them. So then verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, now that's in the flesh. That would be a lost person. That lost person can still seek God, but what they're doing, no matter how good it is, doesn't please God to the saving of their soul. Cornelius was a lost man, but he sought after God. And when a lost man seeks after God, then the Lord will give a testimony to him. We were walking through Amsterdam. That's what it, Amsterdam and Rotterdam, not damn. Okay, and so, and it was raining, and there's this kid sitting aside, and my wife gave him a gospel track. And we were kind of in a hurry to get going, but she gave him a gospel track, and the kid looked at it, and he said, "What's this about?" She said, "It's about Jesus Christ. It's about going to heaven." He said, "Why did you give that to me?" He was absolutely curious. So she started explaining it to him. He said, "I was raised Muslim, but I know that ain't right. I know it's not right. I'm looking for something." And there she was. She gave it to him. She was more in tune to the spirit than I was. I was thinking about the rain. Okay, but we're kind of curious to see how that's going to turn out. I don't know if it was the last track we had and we didn't have anything else to go further with it. Felt we didn't have a Bible. We wish we'd have gave him a Bible. But at least the Lord, I do believe, was working on that young fella. And only eternity will know. We did give him Brent's Facebook page, so we'll see what happens if anything does happen. But that's just being yielded to the spirit, where Jan just gave a track to that young fella. He's just sitting on the side by himself, outside of the rain. And that was a spiritual mind. Okay, now if that young man is seeking after God, what he does now doesn't please God. It's not counted until he gets saved. And so then he says in verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh." So that's a lost person. He's talking to the saints in Rome. "Ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit." Sometimes people say, well, this Christian is living in sin. No, they're not. They can't. They cannot live in sin. They can sin, but they're in Christ. Being very precise. They're in the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, he's in that person. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's a lost person. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So we have the ability to do right. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the same power that rose the Lord from the dead is the same power that indwells every born-again believer. And it's just a matter of each and every one of us yielding to that Spirit. And then he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. Okay? Die in the physical sense. Okay? And in a temporary condemnation, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And then it says, as many as are led. So there's the led, where in verse 1, walk after the Spirit, and so they're led by the Spirit of God, and that's through the words that he crosses our mind and our hearts. It's through the words that he gives to us. And we got to be sensitive to those words. And then he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear. And that's why people fear death. Okay, Brother Delmer's been, he's been going through some tough times. But when the doctors say, you know, about things not going so well for him, he just, oh, okay, well, I'm not worried about it. And they're kind of, was he a nutcase? No, he wants to go to heaven. He's got that hope. He doesn't fear that death, even though he's in pain. And so the fear of death, because what people suffer is because they don't either not saved, and if they're a believer and they still fear death, it's just a, it's not a, it's a lack of faith. For if ye have not received a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is like we would say, Daddy. And so that's the closest we have. And then 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So ask them. Okay, begin the communication with them. Talk to the Spirit of God. Okay, we'll stop there. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for these this passage. I pray that you'd help us to understand it. We have such an skewed idea about this, even in the Christian world. Don't understand it, can't explain it, don't know how it works. But if we're open to the Spirit's leading, we're open to his guidance, we're open to his words, then I'm sure that you will help us out. In Jesus' name, amen.